Jesus is visiting with Simon, a man named Simon, and he tells him a parable about two men who owe another man some money. And we see here that one owes 500 denarii and the other 50. Now, denarii is about a day's wages. Let's simplify it to be $100 a day. And one man owes 50 times 100. And another is 500 times 100. One man owes relatively a small amount of money, and the other owes a great deal of money. And Jesus asked Simon, as the man had forgiven both of them their debt, which one loved more? And he says, well, the one who owed more loved more because what had been done for him. And Jesus says, you answered that correctly. So now, Simon, I want you to notice what has happened here today. I came into your house and you've not done anything for me. Not even given me the usual custom of at least giving me some water so that I could wash my own feet. Now here is this woman, and she did not only do that which was customary for me, but she washed my feet with her own tears, wiping my feet with her own hair. You gave me no kiss such as was customary, and here she does not even stop kissing my feet and anointing my feet. Jesus teaches Simon a lesson here. Simon did not love Jesus very much, and the woman loved him very much. And I want us to notice a few things this morning, and I want to make some application regarding our lives today. And what I want all of us to understand, not that some in the body of Christ love Jesus a little and some love him very much, not that some have been forgiven a very little and some have been forgiven a much more. What I want us to think about this morning is that all of us have been forgiven of much. And that all of us, therefore, should love Jesus very much, deeply. To be that one who would just be weeping and crying so much that we would have tears to wash the feet of Jesus Christ. And to kiss his feet. No offense, I don't want to kiss any of your feet. But to think so much of Jesus Christ, to gladly kiss his feet. What are some lessons we can learn and apply to ourselves this morning? First of all, I want us all to notice from verse 40, Luke 7:40, that Jesus has something to tell all of us. And Jesus says to Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon replied, say it, teacher. Now, it's not indicated here whether Simon really appreciated what Jesus had to say. I think probably he did not. Maybe indeed he truly took it to heart and he changed his life completely. But at least he was willing to listen. And Jesus has something to tell all of us today. He has a very clear, he has a very concise message for us. And the message is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that we must obey our Savior, our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ. What he's asked us to do is not difficult, it's rather simple. To believe in him, repent of our sins, confess that he is the Son of God, and be baptized, and to serve him faithfully all of our life, and that's not difficult. But he's asked us to do that, and he's asked us to do that with urgency. I want you to notice that the woman at Simon's house did not delay. Jesus says, from the very time I entered into this house, she was about this. She was doing this. She did not delay. Simon, you've not done it yet, and I'm in your house. You're the one that should be doing these things. She did not delay, and it was quite urgent for her. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, we must obey Jesus Christ, who is the source of eternal salvation. I look for an illustration of this. I found one. In the fall of 2003, there were a string of Southern Californian fires. Eventually, 24 people died. I've got a couple of quotes here from two people who tried to rescue these people. One is Sergeant Conrad Grayson. He said this, "We're begging people to live. We're begging people to leave. And they don't take us seriously. They want to pack some clothes or fight it in the backyard with a garden hose. They don't seem to understand that this is unlike any fire we've seen. If people don't move fast, they're going to become charcoal briskets." In other words, the sergeant is saying, we told these people, you need to get out of here. We told these people the fire is coming and it's not like anything we've ever seen. If you try to fight it yourself, if you try to get your belongings, you're all going to die. 24 people died. Now, I want you to notice what this other fellow said. John Smaldridge says this, "He frantically warned his neighbors only to have some disregard him or respond too casually." And don't you see, that's the way Simon was? He was too casual. Jesus Christ had come to his house, and he was treating him worse than just one of his friends. One of his friends came in, he would have gave them some water to wash their feet, perhaps wash them himself, certainly had one of the slaves wash the feet. But he was too casual about it. You know, we have to be very careful about this because we can be too casual also, can't we? We can be too casual about serving God. We can get used to being a Christian. We can, as those in Ephesus, we can lose our first love, not be zealous, not be fervent anymore. Sometimes we can even excuse the fervency of those who are new Christians. Those who've just had their sins washed away and they're on fire for the Lord and they are fervent. And us who have been Christian for a long time, and we just sit back and say, they'll get over it. None of us should get over it. That's the point. We all must be like this woman who is not casual about being with Jesus, who was not casual about her sins and forgiveness. And we'll talk about some of the characteristics displayed by the woman in just a moment. Characteristics that we need to keep in our lives because we realize what God has done for us and what Jesus has done for us. There's a song, I don't think it's in our songbook, "I'm the One." And I love that song so much. I'm the one. It's because of me Jesus had to die upon the cross. I'm the one who was pounding the nails as he was being crucified. Do we realize that it's because of our sin? That it's because of my sin Jesus went to the cross as he bore my sins in his body upon the cross of Calvary? Or are we a Simon and we just take things so casual? I appreciate so much what Dan mentioned today in his message before partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I'd really never heard it that way. I'm glad he did that. I have three things I want you to think about today. Then he read two very simple scriptures. And how did you react to that as you were sitting in the pew this morning? Casually? No big deal. Jesus died for someone else. Oh, sure, Jesus died for me, but, you know, what I've done has not been too much. He was dying mostly for everybody else. Or do we take it like the woman who was crying, who was weeping so much that Jesus says she washed his feet with her tears? That's not just a little tear, is it? That's just not someone who's just mildly upset. That's someone who is very, very, very distraught and very, very, very moved in their life. And I want to remind all of us this morning that we all must be moved greatly as this woman. Remember, as some angels went to rescue Lot and his family, and the angels told him, says, get your family. This is what's going to happen. He went to his sons-in-law, and he told them what was going on, that they had to leave right away. Of course, he's telling them what's going to be going on, and they thought he was joking. Joking. Casual. No urgency. Not believing it at all. You've got to be joking. And that's the message of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Jesus says there's going to be a day when I come back to this earth with angels in flaming fire bringing retribution on those who do not know God or believe the gospel. And some think that it's a joke. So casual about these things. And what happened to Lot's sons-in-law? They died with everyone else. You see, there is some urgency about our lives as Christians. Just not on the day that we obey the gospel and we're baptized into Jesus Christ. Certainly then, but we must keep this urgency and never become casual in our relationship with God. And that is everybody else that needs the forgiveness. It's everybody else that needs to be worried. It's everyone else that needs to be upset. But as for me, well, I'm practically perfect. We have to be very careful not to do that. I want you now to look at verses 41 and 42 and 47. And we must realize that those who are forgiven more naturally love more. And if we realize this, we must then understand the severity of our sin. Luke 7:41. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Then verse 47. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. I'm not making the point this morning that perhaps there are Christians who have never really done much of anything wrong, therefore they've been forgiven of very little, therefore they forget therefore they love the Lord just a little bit. That's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is this: all of us have been forgiven of much. I don't care if you're a teenager here and you've basically done everything right, what the Lord would have you to do, and I commend you for that. I praise you for that. But we must understand that even that little thing that we've done in the past is one thing for which Jesus went to the cross. I remember in my life the first time I did something wrong intentionally. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. I was about 5 or 6 years old, and my mother, as my cousin and I were playing, my mother said, "You cannot have any more of that candy. Do not get any more of that candy." And she left it on the couch. And I took a piece of that candy. Now, isn't that amazing? How many years later I still remember that event in my life? How much else could I tell you about when I was 5 or 6 years old before I even went to school? Not hardly anything, but I remember that event to this day. Jesus Christ went to the cross because of that. All of us have been forgiven of much, therefore, it must bring about a response within us, deep within us. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 15. And here is the parable of the prodigal son. And not to read all of this, you remember the story? A man wants his inheritance from his father. His father gives in and gives it to him. He goes off and spends it all in riotous living, and he's living as a servant. And he's feeding pigs, and he's eating what the pigs eat. And he finally wises up and says, well, I can at least go home and be at least like one of my father's servants and live better than this. And so he goes back home. And in chapter 15, down in verse 20, so he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now this is the reaction of his father, verse 22. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him and bring a ring, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf, kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Go down to verse 28. Here the prodigal son had come back. And his father is celebrating these things. And the son says, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your son. And his father embraced him. Now this is the reaction of his brother. He had not gone and spent his father's inheritance. He had been faithful to his father and been working hard all of these years. Verse 28, but he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. Do you see the difference there? Although it's not the point Jesus is making with the parable, we can get this lesson out of it. The one who had been forgiven of so much, when his father accepted him in, he was celebrating, he was happy, he was so full of joy. And his brother, who had not been forgiven of anything, at least within this context, was mad that his father would have anything to do with him. We must realize that we are all prodigal sons at some point in our life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And we are all in that category at one point in life. The old saying, but by the grace of God go I. That we all need God's grace. That we all should love God and love Jesus Christ so much to be the one who is just crying and bawling our eyes out, kissing his feet and anointing his feet. Not like Simon, who's standing around and just really didn't care too much. You see the difference in the attitude. We've got to be like the woman. The Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Do you see the way Paul looked at himself? He'd been a Christian all of these years. He had suffered perhaps more than anyone else for the sake of Jesus Christ. If anyone could say, I'm somebody, for all that has happened to me, for all the persecution, for all the times I was scourged and beaten by rods and stoned to death, it would be me. But what was his attitude toward himself? I am the chief of sinners. And that's got to be our attitude. We cannot rank ourselves among sinners. To say, Lord has forgiven me, but he didn't have to forgive very much. And then with that attitude, we become a Simon. And pretty soon, we just don't care anymore. And we look down our noses at everyone else. Because they're the ones who have been forgiven. Our attitude is reflected in our actions. Verses 44 through 47. 44 through 47, back to Luke chapter 7. Turning toward the woman, this is Jesus, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? And I want everybody to see this woman today. Have you ever seen someone just cry their eyes out? Have you ever seen that? Probably some of you have not. Probably many of the young people here have been protected from any of those things. And they've not seen their parents. If their parents ever did it, they went off somewhere where their children wouldn't see. And I suppose all the young people here, many of the young people, haven't even been exposed to anything so bad. But if you can imagine seeing this woman with all of these tears, weeping, crying, as all of these tears poured forth from her eyes. And Jesus says, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume." You see the difference here in the attitudes. Their actions reflect their attitude. And we need to be very honest with ourselves. What do our actions reflect about us? What do our actions here, even partaking the Lord's Supper this morning? I was examining myself, knowing what the lesson was to come. What is my attitude here? Am I just casually sitting here? Or is my mind deeply upon these things that Jesus went to the cross for me? And I should be moved as a result of that. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 7. And here Jesus tells about two guys who are praying. Excuse me. Here Jesus is teaching about the fact that we can know others and we can know ourselves by our fruit. Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit." What does Jesus say? Jesus tells us that you know people by their actions, and we know ourselves by our actions. And brethren, we need to look at ourselves. Are we a Simon, or are we like the woman? Are we deeply moved for the fact that we've been forgiven of our sins, or are we just casual about these things? Are we the ones with tears? Are we the ones wanting to wash Jesus' feet? Are we the ones that want to kiss His feet? Are we the ones that want to anoint His feet with perfume? Some of the character I believe we can see from the woman is that she was very humble, very humble. I've told this before and I'm going to tell it again. There are some things in life that happen that move you greatly. And this event did. We had a lady in Thomasville. She'd been coming to church for a good long time with us. She'd been baptized. She was a Christian. But she sort of carried some of these old religious thoughts with her. And so one day she was at our house and she was talking about having your feet washed. And Beth said, "You want me to wash your feet?" She said, "Yeah." And so I watched her wash her feet. Not in a religious kind of way. In a service kind of way. And I learned from that event that washing someone else's feet is a very, very humbling thing to do. Very humbling thing to do. And this woman was a very humble individual. Simon, it seems to me, was not a very humble individual. The woman was very humble. And I wonder, I know the cultures are different and things are different, but would we be the one who wanted to wash Jesus' feet? The minute He walked in, we're the ones, "Bah, I want to do that." I want to serve Jesus Christ. That attitude of humility, although in our culture today, we do not wash other people's feet. That attitude of humility is what we must have, though, in our lives. Turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and here is Jesus talking about two men who were praying. Luke chapter 18 and beginning in verse 9. Luke 18 and beginning in verse 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Isn't that what we're talking about this morning? We must look at ourselves, not as if we are righteous because of something we have done, and not look down our noses at other people, not think that we are better. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And remember, the tax collectors of the day were thought to be some of the worst people that there were. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Notice what Jesus says in verse 14. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. The other was the Pharisee. The other was the Pharisee who was, of the day, was the most religious, supposedly, the most devout, supposedly, the most in greatest standing with God, supposedly. But the tax collector, who was the worst of sinners, he's the one that went away justified that day. And it all gets back to attitude. And I tell you something, if our attitude is not right with God, if we become arrogant or proud or boastful or any of these things, looking at others with contempt, then we are the ones that will go away, not justified. The woman was grateful and thankful. And all of us here are grateful and thankful, aren't we? But the question is, how grateful and how thankful are we? How grateful? Just a little. Are we grateful enough to be like the woman? Are we so thankful to be like the woman? Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 17. And beginning in verse 11, here's a story of 10 lepers. And only one was grateful, only one was thankful. While he was on his way to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at an entrance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus says, where are the rest of them? Weren't the rest of them cleansed? And only this one Samaritan, the foreigner, only this one came back. That's one who is grateful and thankful. And my question for you today is, how grateful and thankful are you? How grateful and thankful are you? Is it something that's on your mind every day? Are we thanking God every day for His grace and for His mercy and for salvation and for Jesus and what Jesus has done for us in such a great and wonderful life, is this on our mind? Do we pray this several times a day, or do we just sometimes think about it? How grateful and thankful are you? The woman also was worshipful. She had this worshipful attitude. Let me ask you this. What is it, do you think, the woman would not have done if Jesus had asked? What do you think? What would the woman have refused to do if Jesus had asked? Of course, I'm within the context of something Jesus would ask her to do. Wouldn't be a sin, wouldn't be anything wrong. It seems to me that this woman would have done anything, doesn't it, to you? That Jesus could have asked anything. Here was a woman bawling out her eyes, using her hair to wipe his feet, kissing his feet, anointing them with perfume. She would have done anything. And we need to be at that point in life that we would do anything. We need to be so humble we would do anything. Anything the Lord asks us to do. We need to be so grateful and so thankful that whatever the Lord would have us to do in this life, we'll gladly do that. Worshiping, serving, and faithful. Jesus told her to go. Her faith had saved her. She had faith, confident, trust, and obedience. This was her attitude. Today I want you to see the woman. And I want you to put yourself there. If you can, put yourself to be the person who had all the humility, all the gratefulness, all the thankfulness, worshiping Jesus, faithful to Him. Will you do whatever Jesus asks you to do? That's the question. I hope and I suppose the answer is yes. Is that your ambition? Is that your determination? Is that your commitment? Lord, whatever you would have me to do, that is what I'll do. Whatever it is. Jesus has forgiven us of much, every person here. Therefore, we love Him with all of our heart, mind, strength, and our soul. With all of our being, we just want the Lord to tell us what He would have us to do. And He tells us that in His Word. What's your commitment today? If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian. Be forgiven of your sins. Simply believing in Jesus Christ. Repenting of your sins, turning from the wrong to do what Jesus would have you to do. Confessing your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Such an easy thing. Not nearly as difficult as washing His feet with your tears and kissing His feet and anointing them. But still humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God to obey your Savior, Jesus Christ. And He will save you from your sins. If we can help you this morning, step to the front, please, as we stand and sing.